We shall snap our fingers next to the microphone in 3, 2, 1. We shall become a band of wandering acrobats in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, I'm a flying acrobat.
Witch.
Hey, ho.
Listening to On the Shoulders of Dwarves, a weekly podcast about role-playing games and role-playing gamers.
On the Shoulders of Dwarves.
Hello and welcome to On the Shoulders of Dwarves, a weekly podcast about role-playing games and the people who play them. My name is Eran Aviram.
My name is Uri Lifshitz. Hello.
And today, episode 67, it's time to talk about retirement. How and why to retire your character. This is something that is quite rare. It's so rare that when Uri and I sat down to think about when last this happened to us, we realized it never happened to us.
To a certain extent.
Yes, to a certain extent. However, there are some interesting examples and there are many interesting things that can be done with your character retirement. And when it does happen, it really should happen gracefully.
It does worth mentioning, however, that both you and I are oftentimes GMing games rather than playing, and I at least have a tendency to go with my characters all the way to the bitter end. So maybe that's why we haven't retired our characters ever.
I have retired one of my characters, and we will discuss this later. And I think one of the main reasons I allowed myself to do it is because I saw her as a tool in a story. And I was interested in the story, not the character. So I retired her when it was required by the story arc. And let's then talk about why one would retire their character.
Now, before we actually discuss the retirement and anything that you can do and what you should do after that, I would suggest, firstly, always talk to your GM. Your GM is running the game. Your GM has the responsibility of getting all the players together and understanding that they can relate to the story and whatever happening in it. And if you have a problem with your character, this can be a huge opportunity for the GM to develop the story, for you as a player to create a lead-in for your new character, if that is what you decided to do. You can have so many options, and none of them would probably bear fruit unless you talk with your GM before you go on this path of retiring your character. And now let's move on to the actual reasons why one would want to retire their character. Now, one of the main reasons one would want to retire their character is because they feel that the character has fulfilled its purpose. I'm talking about the narrative decision here. If my character's goal in life was to kill the king, avenge my family, and rise to the throne, once that is done, or once my character understood that revenge is terrible and it is consuming their lives and they no longer wish to do that, my character sort of fulfilled the story. There is no more need. It doesn't interest me anymore to continue this narrative. So that's one reason why I would like to move on to a new character. Or that same process could happen off play. If the reason for playing a specific character was a mechanical reason, for example, I wanted to play a swashbuckler, either to study this specific class or to explore an idea or a theme that I wanted to play with in my game. Now that I'm done, I have played this character for a while, I got whatever I wanted from this experience, maybe I no longer want to play a swashbuckler, maybe I no longer want to play this specific character. And that is a good time, for example, to move on.
There are players that just like trying out new and different things. Maybe I just want to try a new class. And the system that I'm currently using is one that doesn't allow me to just shift between classes. There are systems that allow that, and there can be in-game rationale for that. But in many other games, or many other stories, it can't be done. The class is the character. So if I want to try a new class, I will have to retire my current character. Maybe I just feel that the character doesn't work as intended. Maybe I don't enjoy the sneak mechanics and I'm a rogue and it's a big thing that I'm supposed to do. Maybe I don't like the whole dragon killing part and I'm a dragon slayer. That's how I imagine the character. Something about the character, either narrative wise or mechanics wise, doesn't work the way I wanted, and I just can't find a way to make it work when I talk with the GM, etc. Maybe they became too complicated. This again can be both in narrative sense and in the mechanic sense. In the narrative sense, maybe I just find myself in such a plot or a mixture of plots and NPCs that I'm no longer sure what my character is actually supposed to do and where is the fun. I'm no longer sure, wait, is this now a political thing? And do I now care more about the city that I'm in? What about my dead parents? Oh, that they came back. Have they came back? Is one of them the mayor? I don't. It's so complicated just to keep this character and everything around her that it feels like work, not like fun.
Of course, this is very subjective. Some people really enjoy complicated characters and complicated and convoluted plot lines. Some people just go, and zone out. And this is probably a good time to just find a way to declutter the plot lines, either by starting a new character or by simply, you know, moving to a different kingdom. Or, of course, fake your death, avoid taxes, and plot-related issues. I relate to that because I can never have a too complicated plot line, but a few months, possibly a year ago, I started playing a character, and I played it as a warlord in Pathfinder First Edition, and it was just too complicated mechanically for me to enjoy. It has this whole subsystems of its own, which I didn't really enjoy, and I felt that it didn't mesh well with the existing classes. So eventually I simply tossed it out the window and decided to switch to a different class.
However, you kept the character. So there was no retirement.
I kept the character, yeah.
There was a lot of talking with your GM and finding new solutions.
Indeed.
Another reason I might want to retire is because I no longer care about the character. Maybe whatever it is that got me interested in the character, in her story, in whatever I planned for her, it's just no longer here, or just maybe I moved somewhere else in my life and this is not the sort of thing that I enjoy anymore. Maybe I just don't want to play them. I don't see any way that I can use them in a story that would excite me. Maybe I got pushed into a corner by the story or by myself. I put myself in a place where the only thing I can do is go ahead and avenge my father by killing what's his name. But this is really not what the game is currently about. I bought myself into this storyline, which has nothing to do with our main storyline. And that's the only thing my character can do now. I can't imagine, and the GM can't help me imagine, a better solution. It feels like I'm in a corner. This story must go somewhere else. This character must no longer be part of this story. And finally, it could be that I just have a brilliant retirement idea. I just have a really, really cool way of getting rid of this character. Getting rid is maybe harsh, but exploding in an awesome narrative sense is something that might be cool enough on its own and justify the retirement of a character.
Completely agree. There are these moments in which you say, well, I want to do it. I want to jump off the boat in full armor to save my friend who is currently drowning. And the GM just looks at you and said, dude, that's full armor. That's a stormy sea. If you don't roll a 19, you're going to drown. And you said, well, dude, that you got to do what you got to do, right? And it helps that I no longer care about this character. So I'm just going to jump to save my friend.
So we have some idea about why we should retire, but before we actually do it, we have to ask ourselves, is this really what we want to do?
Indeed. Before defenestrating your character, you might want to stop and think for a moment if the reason behind your choice can't be solved with the current character. The reason I'm bringing this up is that a character is not just a character. Your character usually have a history that comes with it, a history of interaction with the party and the world and combined memories, and that is something that shouldn't be tossed away lightly. Now, retiring your character is a perfectly fine choice and one that every player should be able to do if they so wish. But it is one that comes with consequences, and you should consider your consequences before you do anything.
Exactly. Maybe if, for example, you find yourself in a corner, maybe fake your death and come back as the same character, have the character come back, but now they have a different identity, and now they are trying to hide their previous identity. Maybe if you want to change your class, you can find a way inward to explain this. Maybe you went through some sort of catharsis, a realization. Maybe you had a time skip of several months during which you learned new things and forgot and simply tossed aside the older ways. You no longer agree with the teaching of the monks and will no longer use your hands now that you have a sword. It can be a lot of different things, and they all can be pretty cool. Just trying to find a way to circumvent whatever reason you first thought of to retire can be pretty awesome and lead to some pretty cool places in the story.
Agreed. There's this amazing writing advice that I heard once that says, imagine what's the worst thing that can happen to your character, the absolute worst thing that can happen, and then do that to your character and see what comes out. Because usually things that make your character life more complicated makes for a better story. That's like the basic premise of the entire Fate role-playing system.
Yes, yes. And powered by the apocalypse.
Indeed.
Failing is another way to continue the story in an interesting way. So, let us retire. But let's retire gracefully. We will now discuss in-play reasons to leave. We don't talk about untimely death. If your character died because of a choice that was made during the game, then that happened. We will now instead address things that you design, things that you aim for them to happen in the game after discussing them with the GM. All of these should be discussed with the GM because all of these can have consequences regarding the story, the general story. First off, kill them off. Again, we are not talking about killing yourself when the time is right. We are talking about planning a death.
That's why this episode is called Retiring Your Character, not accidentally retiring your character.
You can plan for your character to die in an interesting way. This can be, because it is a plan with the GM, it can be something external to the character. Maybe they die because the dragon eats them. That will have quite the impact on the party if they didn't expect that. If they approach the dragon and then the dragon eats you. And you knew that it's coming because you planned it and you wanted to retire the character. But the others might have only sort of guessed something like this might come. And now your character got killed, eaten by the dragon. This is killing off a character in a way that is useful to the story. In a way that helps the GM establish a danger in this case. But it can be a lot of other things as well.
On the plus side, I think most of my players who wanted to retire their character chose this specific option simply because they wanted to see the look on the other players' faces as the dragon or whatever kills their character. It is a beautiful moment to behold.
Personally, I don't like this. I think this is the least interesting way from everything we are going to list to retire the character, because all of the other leaves some room for the character to either return or in some way influence the story in the future as well. While this one definitely doesn't. More interesting, I think, would be to have the character finish up whatever business was keeping them in the group. And that doesn't have to be something they would want to do. It might be something that happened to them. Like, for example, if we are all together because we would like to avenge whatever name the bad dude person, and my character comes to a realization that they no longer have any wish to avenge anyone and would like to instead, for example, go and be a farmer because they no longer wants to be in this life of violence, to be part of a party that kills and what, et cetera, et cetera. They no longer have a reason to be an adventurer in a party of adventurers. They have, in essence, finished up their business. They have nothing more to do in this story because of their own desires or because of outside force. Something outside of them changed. Like, for example, they are no longer part of the prophecy. When we read the prophecy again, we discover that the prophecy only talked about three people, the dwarf, the elf, and the barbarian, and no one talked about the gnome, actually. So the gnome is not actually part of the prophecy and might, in fact, interfere with it. Maybe the gnome has to go. And maybe the gnome is happy with it. Maybe not. I don't know. In any case, this is something interesting that we can use in the story in some way, and then the character will have to go. Maybe they have to go because they respond to a crisis. Something happened to their family, to their guild, to their master, to their farm where they plan to retire eventually. There's a crisis. They have to go and take care of it. And it's not something like, well, here's a dragon and then the whole party can come and just kill the dragon. No, it's something much more important. The father of the patriarch of the family died, and now everyone is arguing about heirlooms and how to interpret the will. And this will take months, if not years, of rigging up all sorts of inner politics between the different clans of the family. And I must be there because otherwise they will lose everything, and my family will lose everything. This is something that is more important to me than whatever it is that we are doing here. I must go. And this thing must be indeed important, just not here. It must be far away, because if it can be here, then it can be part of the story. It must be in a different land. It must be on the other side of the ocean. It must take all of my time, and I must go there. Maybe I go on a personal journey. I seek enlightenment. I want to understand my sword fully. It is a magical sword that I got, and it is really unique, and it has a legend behind it, and I want to become part of the legend. Or I must find within myself the peace that I seem to lack, and I no longer find it in hitting people, bad people, and fighting the bad dude person. I must find it in some other way. I must depart. Farewell. I will be on my own journey to the mountains and where I'll find some solace or whatever.
That's very Kung Fu Panda of you, Aran.
It can be. But of course, a personal journey doesn't necessarily mean this. It can also mean something like, guys, we don't get enough gold. I mean, not at all enough gold. I must get more gold.
Not at all, no. Or we do get a lot of gold, but we don't get enough fame.
I must be the most important person in the world. I need more fame. I must go on a personal journey to gain fame. I can no longer do it with you. Maybe the character past comes back. Not just to haunt them, but to grab them completely. Like, for example,
literally.
Maybe the Thieves Guild finally found out where I am. And I just have to run away. I have to hide somewhere. I can no longer be part of this group because then we will all die. And I must put a mustache and change my hairstyle and get a different name. And I must go somewhere else. And you will not hear from me, maybe forever, because otherwise we will all die. Or maybe my long lost family is back. I thought they all died. They didn't die. I must go back to them. And together we will rediscover each other and our relationship, etc., etc. Everything I thought I lost is not lost. My past is back. Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. Finally, maybe they got kidnapped, which of course means the GM has a carte blanche to do whatever they want with them from now on, and they sort of become a MacGuffin. Now the rest of the party would like to release them or something. Or maybe they did a face heel turn. That is, they became the bad guys. They revealed they were always the bad guys, or walked with the bad guys, or just recently began to walk with the bad guys. Something. They turned to the other side. They are no longer with us for whatever reason. It might be an excellent reason in their mind, It might be something that seems very reasonable to them, not necessarily to you as the player, but you do want to retard the character. You do want them to go away. So something in them may be changed, or maybe they were persuaded by something that might be awesome, interesting, or never revealed. Finally, there's the best option.
Which is that a flaming demon burst out of your character's flaming corpse and joined the party, swearing to avenge the destruction of his precious vessel. Now, my GM literally just said no and walked away when I pitched this idea to him a month ago when I thought about changing my character. It's not that I don't like my character, it's just that I feel that it has fulfilled some of the reason why I wanted to play it in the first place.
It's time for a bursting demon of fire and flame yeah. to serve instead.
For people who are familiar with the Pathfinder setting, my character comes from Chelyax. He is a nobleman for a family, for a realm that deals with devils and make deals with devil and devil rule the kingdom, etc. So it makes perfect sense in the narrative sense that he might have a demon inside him dying to burst forward. But the reason I haven't done this is because we're in a very advanced stage of the campaign, and adding a new character now would invalidate a lot of the sense of accomplishment of what we have achieved so far. So it's a lot of out of character sort of rationale why I'm not changing characters.
And we'll discuss this in a moment, but first I want to give two examples of graceful retirements that I know of. One is my own, and one is from Critical Role. And that was the one, actually, that gave me the idea for this episode. During one of the episodes of Critical Role, Scanlan, a character played by Sam Riegel, got resurrected after he died. This is not the first time it happened in that campaign. There were high levels. It was D&D 5. Getting resurrected is a thing that happens. It was a pretty good resurrection because in their game, in order to get resurrected, your friends must sacrifice something and make some rolls. It's not just a spell. There's a whole thing around it. It's generally an emotional thing. So he got resurrected. He came back. But then Scanlan went around the room and basically was very angry with everyone, because the party did something that they promised not to do. And he did something that he promised not to do. He promised his daughter never to die. He promised her he will always be there for her. And he did die. And he sort of blamed the others for allowing it to do, because they never take him seriously. And in a very emotional, very well-remembered moment, where he went between them and accused each of them of not remembering and not caring, while he named each of the characters' parents one by one, he eventually turned around and walked away from the party. No longer, he no longer wanted to have anything to do with them. He needed some time off. And that was an awesome moment. I don't know why it happened. I don't know what's the metagame rationale. Was it that Sam didn't want to play Scanlan? Was it that Sam decided that this is what Scanlan would do? I don't know. It's all pretty interesting. But let's continue to the next example. And that's Zamlothia's Fall into Darkness. I talked about Zamlothia in the past. She's a character I played in Wrath of the Righteous. It's Adventure Path for Pathfinder First Edition. And I planned her as a redemption arc. She would first fall into darkness, and then she would leave the party when she turns to join the dark side, and then she would come back. She was half a demon from the get-go. She was sort of a tiefling, so it all sort of figured. And her fall, her moment of fall, was the accumulation of many months of being driven by hubris and the feeling she is always right and divine, and she knows exactly what is right and correct and what her gods want from her, as she stabbed the main cleric of that god in the guts with her sword because he disagreed with her and didn't think she was the best for just now killing one of the major evils. It was immediately after an important battle, and it was a very good point for it to happen. It was something that I discussed with the GM before. We weren't sure exactly when it was going to happen, but we kept each other informed, and during that session, we both felt like this was the time for it, and we sent messages to each other, hidden messages, eventually decided, yes, this is the time, and then we did it. Also, all of the other players knew about it, which is very important, because when you stab a character, I think the player should know. So all of the players knew that this might and eventually will happen. I told them all that this will happen.
I think you meant to say that when you stab a character, it's important that the player will know ahead of time, because they know once you stab it.
True. Now, in both of these cases, both in Skyland and Zemlofia, both of them came back. It was a temporary retirement. And that's very interesting as we move on to the next point to talk about. What now? Okay, a character got retired. What now? What is the next thing that would happen, assuming the player is still part of the group?
Introduce a new character! Throw away everything that is old. Start with everything that is new. Hooray!
I think that introducing a new character is a really big thing and it deserves its own episode.
Definitely.
But very quickly, there are, I think, two things that we should think about. First, maybe upgrade a current NPC or a cohort, someone that is already with the party or knows the party, into a player character. Maybe change their class, their abilities, whatever, to suit whatever the player wants. But generally speaking, make someone that is already part of the story into a player character, because as Uri just said before, having someone completely new out of nowhere into this, it just feels very unsatisfying dramatically.
I remember 2 years ago, my character had a cohort, and when a new player joined the group and she said, okay, I just want to play a session or two and see how it goes, we said, fine, you can play the NPC. We have a healer NPC, you know, have fun. And, you know, 2 years later, she's still playing with us, of course, with a new character, an amazing paladin. But still, it's an excellent way to just upgrade an NPC into a full-fledged PC.
And the second thing that's really important about new characters is to find common goals. It's really important that the new characters have some reason to join that is at least aligning with the reason the other characters have to keep doing what they're already doing. Just like as when you create a group, it's a lot better to have a reason for the group to exist and then create characters that fit this reason. Now that you already have a reason, it's really important that a new character fits it as well. A second thing that can happen that now that your character is retired is you can play a temporary character. That is, someone that you are not planning on actually playing till the end of the campaign. This is what happened with Scanlan. The new character that Sam played, Therion Darrington, was there specifically for a specific storyline, and then he retired, and Scanlan came back. And in my case with Zemlofia, I played a cohort, her cohort, as a temporary character, planning for Zemlofia to come back within about 10 sessions, probably less. It's really cool playing a temporary character. It allows you to try something else and new, while eventually still giving room for your original character to come back in some way.
Now, one might argue that a noble thing to do would be to hand off your character to the GM to become an NPC in the world, in the setting, and to keep the world ever expanding. Now, this is a very hard choice, at least for me, when I play a character. I love my characters, and oftentimes I would find it terrible to think of someone else handling my character. But actually doing this, taking the leap and saying to your GM, this is my character, it has a history with this party, and it can continue to grow in this setting and maybe become a major NPC later on, who would have a very close-knit relationship to the player, to the other player characters. So handing off your character to the GM is a very hard choice, but I think it is very rewarding in the long run.
Again, this is very different than you and me, Uri, because I nowadays tend to look at all of my characters as merely pawns in the story, and giving them to the GM is my default choice. I would hand them over to GM and say, you tell me how to retire my character and what happens with them later. Do whatever it is that you find is most useful to the story, because that would be very satisfying to me to see them being used in some way later on.
We might want to discuss the tiny, tiny topic of what if this is not the end?
Yes.
Discussing things like resurrection, for example. Oftentimes, a character might die and it will not be the end. For example, if you play a character and it gets killed off by a vampire and that vampire escapes. It is totally realistic in the context of the game for your character to return as a vampire spawn or as a vampire itself sometime later on. I feel like basically most of what we say here, that again, this is something that the player should clear with the GM, or in the specific example that I gave, this is something that the GM should clear with the specific player. I'm going to give an example from my own campaign where a few months back, one of the PCs died. Now, it was a very, very satisfying death. It was the final epic battle against the big boss. It was a priestess of pestilence, an avatar of an evil god, and he managed to do a shitload of damage, but in the process, he died. And we weren't in such high levels, so we took the time to think about it. We said, okay, we do have enough resources, and if we pool them all together, we could pay a cleric to resurrect this character. And then we went out of character and we asked the player. We told him, listen, man, we can resurrect your character. This is a sacrifice that everyone in the party are willing to make. Are you interested in continuing to play this character? It has a very strong narrative ending. And would you like to continue its story beyond that or do something else? And it was a very emotional moment. And he eventually said, I'm going to have to think about it. I'm going to tell you during the week before next week's session. And eventually he took the choice of no, not resurrecting his character and going in a completely different direction. A choice which I appreciated immensely, because like you, Aran, I'm very much a believer in the greater narrative and the greater story, and the character that you feel have fulfilled their destiny or their purpose, either in a narrative way or in an out-of-character way, should be retired. You should end in a peak.
Much like this episode. So, this is time to summarize everything in three words. Uri?
Let them go.
If you would like to add some more words to this, and maybe you have your own thoughts about retiring characters and you would like us to not only read them but also perhaps talk about them in a future episode, email us at show@dwarfcast.net. You can also find us all over the internet in Facebook or on Twitter. So not all over the internet, but in these two places at least. And if you know of someone who enjoys RPG discussions, and maybe even to listen to them, share this episode or another episode with them, please, please. That's really the best way to have a podcast gain new followers.
Apparently in the last week, people from Croatia started listening to this podcast. So, hello, people from Croatia.
Hello, Croatians. And now it's time to take the load off.
This world is carried on the shoulders of dwarves.
This is the part of the show in which we talk about role-playing clan. What about you, Uri? What have you been doing?
So, Eran, why don't you ask me what I did this last weekend?
Oh, okay, sure. What have you been doing this last weekend?
Well, I've been role-playing, Eran. I've been role-playing like it's nobody's business.
During the whole weekend?
During the whole weekend.
Amazing.
My party has a tradition. And I can call it a tradition now because we have been doing this for now 6 years straight. Every year, we take a weekend, we get away from everything, we go, and we spend the whole weekend just gaming. I know there's probably a lot of 18 or 20-year-old now giggling, we do this every weekend. But once you get a bit older and you have family, you have kids, pretty much everyone in your party have family, kids, work, jobs, whatever. It's very hard to get away for an entire weekend. But once a year, we do this, we go away, and we spend 2 or 3 days doing absolutely nothing but roleplay and eat and roleplay and eat and occasionally sleep when the GM had enough. We're currently playing Pathfinder 1st Edition, and we're in the middle of Curse of the Crimson Throne, which is a very, very nice adventure path with a lot of interesting twists in it and a lot of very, very, very different episode and genres inside it. And luckily for us, we exactly came to the point where we're in this huge dungeon crawling section of the adventure. And, well, this is not a spoiler, but some of you who might want to play this might not want to listen. This is a specific dungeon in which you cannot really rest. You don't have an extended rest of any kind. So we kind of felt what our character was playing. You know, you're playing, it's middle of the night, you're dead tired, and your character has been in this dungeon for 8 hours now, and they're like totally tired, without any spells, without any more resources, except for my amazing swashbuckler who keeps refreshing his panache pool. But the point is that you can really get some authentic player-to-player character synergy going inside if you plan this kind of events correctly. Eran, we should really do an episode about specials and how to plan them and how to execute them.
Sure, why not? As for me, Crystal Heart is now out. The game I've been
and
working
on... And it's amazing!
Thank you. The game I've been working on for the past year is now available as a PDF for everyone, for the public. It's $20 on DriveThruRPG, but currently there's a discount. Because if you're listening to this episode around the time it's aired, it's currently Christmas in July. In DriveThruRPG and all of the website, including our PDF, is at 25% off. So you can buy it at $15 instead. I think this is a great time to indeed buy it. If you do purchase, or if you have already purchased, or if you were backers, thank you everyone. And also, please leave a review. It's very useful. It's so useful. I mean, it's hard for me to explain just how useful it is for us to have another review on Crystal Heart or on the Action and Adventure deck, which is also available now. The Action deck is basically 54 cards that are in Crystal Heart style because Savage World uses cards, but the Adventure deck is 52 cards with all sorts of adventuring things that happen. It's a really awesome idea that Savage World uses, where each player gets a card or several at the beginning of a session and can play them during the session to make things happen. And that's just the bonus that you needed or just the complication that you wanted. And we've been using the official adventure deck of Savage Worlds for forever since we started playing Savage Worlds. And this one is designed for Crystal Heart, and I think it's pretty awesome as well. So maybe check it out. This is it. We have nothing more to add. If you have, you already know where to contact us. You can also go to dwarfcast.net for the website where everything else is there. All of the other episodes, for example. Uri, I think it's time for us to say goodbye. Later!
On the Shoulders of Dwarves is shared under Creative Commons by attribution and non-commercial 4. Intro and outro are by The Cliché Duo. And you can email us at show@dwarfcast.net.
On the shoulders of dwarves.